ABC Radio Australia.
One of the biggest threats to Pacific communities is sea level rise from global warming, with some islands in the region already experiencing damaging coastal erosion. It's a major concern for people living on those islands who worry their homes and villages are at risk of being washed away. But new research by the University of Auckland has found that many islands in the Pacific are actually getting bigger in size. Dr. Paul Kench has been documenting this process and told reporter Marion Far, it could help Pacific nations adapt to climate change in the future.
So for the past decade, we've been examining hundreds of islands throughout the Pacific and just exploring how they're actually physically changing over the past century or so. And what we've discovered is that in a great many situations, the islands have got larger. And so that's sort of created a conundrum against the expectation that islands should be getting smaller with sea level rise and greater rates of inundation. The question becomes, well, how can these islands actually get larger? So this study that we've just completed has really explored the materials that the islands are made of. So all the islands that we're looking at in the atoll systems are comprised predominantly of the broken up corals, shells and skeletons of organisms on the coral reef, which waves then sweep up and deposit on the island. And what this study is showing is that where we have reefs where they are still relatively healthy, the generation of that material, i.e. the broken up corals and the shells and the foraminifera, are still being produced at sufficient rates to contribute to the growth and development of islands.
What about reefs that aren't as healthy and have been sort of impacted by climate change? What's happening in those areas?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the key questions. And while we can look at sites that are healthy and the sediment production that's creating the islands is still taking place, there has to be concerns at those locations where the reefs are in poorer condition and those sediment supplies aren't occurring. So we're not suggesting here by any stretch of the imagination that islands have nothing to worry about. And so I guess one of the messages from the work that we're doing is that the outcome and the prognosis for islands is going to vary quite markedly from one site to the other.
And how have you measured this growth of the islands over a number of decades?
The primary tool that we've been adopting is a remote sensing analysis. So the satellites sort of whirring around the planet, taking images of these islands on a regular basis, has allowed us to compile and really record in quite a lot of detail how they've physically changed over 30, 40, 50 years in many cases. We've also done a lot of groundwork where we've been looking at not only how these islands are changing in plan form, if you like, but also whether they can actually start to build a little bit higher vertically as well. And we are finding some field evidence that suggests that as sea levels rising and waves start to push a little bit higher up the beach face, they can take sediments with them and push them up and actually build the islands slightly higher as well. So we're starting to unravel the processes, if you like, about how these islands are actually changing their shape.
Were you surprised by these findings, Dr. Kench?
Well, we've been looking at the islands moving and changing for maybe 10 years now. So the finding that this island has got larger wasn't surprising in itself. What is perhaps more surprising, it's one of the first studies that's actually looked at why it's getting bigger and the link to the fact that the reef was producing sediment. This is perhaps one of the first studies that have highlighted the fact that the sand production or the production of materials to build the islands is still healthy in certain locations. And so that, I guess, was surprising and hopefully informative as we look to do further work and really think about what this means for island communities and nations. And we've explored and examined islands where there's been a net increase in land area of some 3 to 5 or even 7 or 8% in some cases. So at those locations, what we're seeing is islands building comparatively quite fast. And this is perhaps one of the keys to be thinking about in terms of adaptation, is that the island countries perhaps need to get much better resolution on which islands are expanding quickly, which are really showing no response currently, and those islands that are actually experiencing erosion. And with that level of information, it gives the island nations some power to think about adaptation strategies, about where do you focus perhaps further development and you would perhaps choose those islands which we can demonstrate are actually growing in size at the moment. So we think it's affording some different sort of strategies and opportunities for islands to think about as they're contemplating an uncertain future.
You mentioned that you studied hundreds of islands around the Pacific. Is there any one area that your research focused on?
No, well, we've worked extensively in Tuvalu, the Marshall Islands, and to a lesser extent, Kiribati. And we've also worked on similar atoll islands in the Maldives archipelago as well. In each location, we find similar patterns of change, so that the majority of islands in each of those nations has either got larger or stayed very similar in size. But there is always, in every atoll archipelago we've looked at, a smaller population of islands, perhaps around 10% of the islands, that have got smaller. So, you know, one of the remarkable takeaways of the work is that these islands are actually quite dynamic. In a physical sense, they are almost continually adjusting just at their edges as sea level, storminess and those kinds of things, and now sediment production changes around them. So these islands are kind of remarkably responsive.
What to next? Where will you be focusing your research in the future?
Well, we're still compiling or documenting the evidence of island change in many more islands, including in the Federated States of Micronesia and the atoll archipelagos that I mentioned earlier. But we're now turning our attention to really exploring the other mechanisms that can control how these islands are changing. So this was one of the first examples of looking at how the sediment supply is critical to whether islands can continue to grow. Well, we need to repeat those kinds of studies in different settings. And as you referred to, you know, what's happening in those locations where the reefs are perhaps in less healthy condition? Well, what is the sediment production that's coming off those reefs currently, so we can quantify and better resolve those processes? And in addition, we're looking at the way that the waves interact with the islands and transfer and change where sediment sits. So as I alluded to before, one way that these islands can become higher in elevation is through periodic waves that flood the island surface. But that's a nuisance to the island communities, of course. But there's one benefit from that from a physical landform perspective, is that those waves can take sand and gravel from the reef and the beach and drape it onto the island surface, so these islands can actually build in elevation. So we're looking at those processes. How often do they occur? How much of the islands will benefit from that, so that we can start to generate predictive models of how islands can change into the future, meaning the next 40, 50, 80 years.